Myanmar's junta leader, Min Aung Hlaing, inaugurates new military ships. That was just days before his neighboring Southeast Asian nations excluded him from a regional summit this week. It's viewed as a potential watershed moment for the bloc of 10 nations, known as ASEAN, as it's very rare for it to take such a strong stance against one of its own. Min Aung Hlaing staged a coup in February after the opposition won a landslide election victory led by Aung San Suu Kyi. He called the election flawed and has since led a crackdown, killing hundreds of people and jailing thousands. Some see this as a foothold for the bloc to take a more robust and unified positions in the future, including on issues outside the region.
The implications or the consequences of disinviting Myanmar and getting through that and prevailing, if you will, and I think that will build more of an appetite, more embolden ASEAN to take on the more equally or more important issues of the day. There will be instances where ASEAN and its member states can't afford to be neutral.
And those instances will involve large economic and military powers within the region and the superpowers, the United States and China. While ASEAN members have been divided about China's territorial claims in the South China Sea, recent military posturing around the Korean Peninsula and Taiwan has prompted a steep increase in tension and military buildup that has made its way south. Many militaries within ASEAN are now intent on buying the latest weapon technology and expanding their capabilities, like submarines and unmanned surveillance. But purchasing many of these weapons comes with strings attached. Training and installation by military advisors usually mean involving a country outside the region. And concerns over lack of transparency within the 10 ASEAN members about the new technology and weapons.
All ASEAN members are moving forward, you know, to acquire some of these without any agreement on how the issues like trust, mistrust can be handled, how the issues of dynamics between different superpowers supplying different arms, supplies to different countries can be an impact for relations among members.
But many of the ASEAN nations are still struggling with the pandemic as new waves continue to break out and vaccine rates remain low. So governments might face public resistance if they start spending billions of dollars on weapons and not on restarting economies and reopening borders. Scott Heidler, Al Jazeera, Bangkok.
And Florence Louis joins us live now from Kuala Lumpur. Florence, so Myanmar clearly the hot topic on the agenda at the summit, but ASEAN has excluded the junta leader.
That's right, and that's a rare and bold move by an organization that's known for its main principle of non-interference in its member states' domestic affairs. But some member countries of ASEAN felt there was a need to send a strong message to Myanmar for failing to implement an ASEAN-led peace plan. And there was particularly unhappiness at the fact that an ASEAN-appointed envoy was not allowed to meet with deposed civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi. So ASEAN decided earlier this month that instead of inviting junta chief Min Aung Hlaing, it would invite a non-political representative. Now, Myanmar struck a defiant tone on the eve of the meeting. Its junta leader said that that attendance or participation at the summit would be by Myanmar's head of state or a ministerial representative. And the junta also accused ASEAN of failing to abide by its charter. Now, Myanmar's stand is that the violence in the country is being provoked by who they call terrorists, supported by a shadow government opposed to the coup, and they said that ASEAN has not taken this into account. Now, the next question then is what happens next with ASEAN? I mean, I imagine Myanmar will be part of the discussion. And some analysts have said that pressure by ASEAN alone is not going to be enough to bring peace. There has to be broader pressure from the international community. That, too, is going to be something that's going to be quite difficult to achieve, considering especially that Myanmar has had a history of enduring international isolation.
Yeah, Florence, and many Asian countries are still struggling with coronavirus. So what else will be on the agenda then?
That's right. So they're probably also going to talk about the economy. That is usually up for discussion. I imagine they'll want to focus on strengthening supply chains. We've heard the Singapore Prime Minister talk about this. These weaknesses have been exposed during the pandemic. They'll also want to talk about strengthening or making public health systems more resilient so that countries will be able to be better prepared in dealing with the next health crisis. And then there's also probably going to be discussion about the rivalry between US and China. Now, ASEAN countries have said before that they don't want to have to choose between the US and China. China is in its own backyard. It's also a very important trade partner for many ASEAN member countries, if not all. And the US is also a traditional ally for many of the ASEAN members. Now, for the first time in 4 years, US President will be taking part in the ASEAN summit. Joe Biden will be joining via video conference later on Tuesday. In contrast, former US President Donald Trump skipped the event 4 times during his term. Now, this ASEAN meeting is also taking place in the wake of a new security alliance known as AUKUS. This is a trilateral security pact between the US, UK and Australia for the Indo-Pacific region. And I think member states are going to want to discuss this. Some member states have expressed concerns about this. They're probably going to want to say that this region, they want to preserve peace and stability in this region and probably even express concern about security buildup in the region.
All right, Florence Louis, live for us there in the Malaysian capital, Kuala Lumpur. Florence, thank you.